And the funeral was yesterday. And I praise the Lord. There was standing room only. They just filled up all the chairs. And she affected quite a few people. And so we have an assurance that she knew the Lord. And I want to thank you also for your prayers. And something else happened this week, which every now and then I think it's good to experience a curveball. And I got a call from a precious young couple that you probably have noticed are here, and that's Tim and Felicia. Amen. And he called me and kind of threw an idea by me, and I said, well, give me a little chance to pray about it and mull it over. And he said he had something from his heart that he wanted to share. And so I guess by the next day, I guess it was it? I gave you a call and said, okay, well, we're going to run with it. And I trust that you'll have tender hearts to receive it. Amen? All right. It's all yours.
Good morning. So if you don't remember who I am, I'm Tim Huang. I was the youth minister here for a couple of years. And before I begin, let's start with a word of prayer, shall we? Dear Lord, I pray you bless this time from the preaching of your word and from my sharing and my testimony and confession that you would be honored in this time, Lord Jesus, and that as we speak truth to power, to the dark powers of the world, that Jesus would be exalted. And Jesus is the one who has overcome the devil on the cross and has crushed the serpent's head. And I pray that you would bless the words of my mouth, that it would be clear, it would make sense, and really touch the heart, and the Holy Spirit would be at work to change lives and turn hearts to you, to turn their faith in Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of the world and the King of the universe. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to start off my sermon today making a confession. And as you know, in September of last year, I just left a church out of the blue. And of course, I talked to Pastor George about it, but I did not explain to the youth group or to you all, my church family, of what happened. And I just pray that you would be forgiving for what I've done, because I want to make an apology. Actually, the reason why I left was not because I hate this church, not because I didn't get along with Pastor George, nothing with you guys. It was my problem. And the thing was that it was very hard for me to talk about, but I was addicted to marijuana for about 9 to 10 months. And it was very hard for me to break because the lies I believed, and it caused a lot of suffering in my marriage and in my health and financially. And the thing was that even though I take responsibility for what I did and I've repented, but it was my brother who got me into this drug. And the thing was, I did suffer from depression for a few months during the winter last year, and I didn't know how to deal with it. And when he came to visit me, he offered this alternative option, which is to actually not only smoke marijuana, but to eat it. And if you eat it, it's 10 times stronger, and it's more addictive. And in fact, he made this for me, and it got me hooked. And I needed it every day to do everything. I couldn't even wake up and put on my belt without taking this drug. And it got to the point that I kept buying it off the black market, and that's what got me in trouble. But eventually it got so bad that I got the medical card, because in Illinois you can get medical marijuana if you go see a doctor and get a prescription. And sometimes these doctors don't care, they just want to make the money. They'll just say, okay, you feel depressed, here's a card, pay for it. And it's a quick, easy cash. And the way that the state of Illinois, which is coming under God's judgment, is that they think that this can boost our economy. But look at where the state of Illinois is today. Everyone's moving out. The economy's crashing here. And I bought into that lie. I thought that this was medicine. And I thought that this was a way to help the economy by wasting all my money on this. And in fact, it was a terrible addiction, but I rationalized it. And the devil uses these drugs to tell people lies. And it took me 10 months, and it was so hard to get off. Especially when you quit, you go through withdrawals. And of course, marijuana is not as intense as like heroin and cocaine, but it does take a toll on you. When you stop, you get nightmares and you sweat at night, and then you feel tired during the whole day and you hate everyone. And for me, it got to a point that I was so hooked on it that I started to hate myself. I mean, that's just so against nature, because naturally we love ourselves. We want to take care of ourselves. But it got to the point that when the drugs wore off, you hate yourself. And I just didn't know where this came from. I thought it promised me happiness. And of course, I don't want to boast about what I did on the drugs, but I do want to share some experiences of how it affected me. For example, when it got to the point that I needed to drive while on these drugs. And one time, I was going to go pick up my wife from work, and there was a fire truck pulled out, and it had the emergency lights on, and I couldn't think straight, and I couldn't even feel my fingers when I was on the steering wheel. And the fire truck wants to pass you, right? And then, because I couldn't control the wheel, I shifted, and I got in front of the truck. And he tried to shift away, and I shifted in front of him, and eventually he passed me by, and the guy on the passenger seat of the fire truck just did. Yeah, he didn't pull me over. You know, they got more important things to do, but it was just so ridiculous what it would do to me. And the thing was that I thought that I could boost my grades in seminary when I was taking Hebrew. And of course, I hope you know that Hebrew is actually an easier language than Greek. As my professor calls it, it's caveman speech. That's what the Old Testament was written in. But in fact, I was so addicted to those drugs, I would take it to do well in Hebrew. And in fact, it did do some temporary success, but it came with a catch. Is that I did get an A+ in Hebrew. But here was the thing, close to the end of the course, I ran out of my supply, because with marijuana, you keep taking, you want to take more, and you want to get a bigger high. And eventually my supply ran out, and the last few classes, the professor just told us just to read the text. And I wasn't able to read it. I couldn't comprehend, because I forgot everything I learned, even though I was an A student. And in fact, someone told me in the class is that, Tim, you're the most sociable person in this class. And if you knew me long enough, that's just not me. I'm a pretty quiet guy. And that's what it does to you. It does not make you yourself. And it gives you these highs but the problem is that it makes you happy for a while, but then once the high goes down, you become 10 times more depressed than when you started, and about 20 times angrier. And that's how it gets to people. And then you want to take more and more. And you take one dose, and you take two doses the next day, and three doses, then it's just out of hand. Then next thing you know, your whole supplies run out, and then you want to get something stronger and something more expensive. And that's how the drug addiction starts. And the way I told myself is that, okay, I'm doing this to get close to God. And that's how they advertise it. You can get close to God this way. But I got to a point that, like, okay, I did it, and I could do some semi-religious stuff on it, like, you know, speak in public and pray. But it got to the point that, like, I needed it just to do those things, just to pray. I needed those drugs, because if I wasn't on it, I don't want to pray. I don't want to speak about God. So that's how it got to me. And the story goes on and on. But just one thing that I talked to Pastor Sam Schleif, who's Pastor George's son, a good friend of mine, and this was just God's confirmation to me was. I felt like I had to confess to him because, you know, he's the interim youth pastor, and also he's a good friend of mine. He was a groomsman at my wedding. And I told Sam my thing, and my story, what I'm telling you now. And Sam says, I woke up this morning and God told me two words. He told me authenticity and anxiety. And he did not know why God told him those two words. Like, that's so random, authenticity and anxiety. And then I told him it's because when I was on these drugs, I was not authentic. I was not myself. I was the most talkative person in my class. I was so happy. I was always cracking silly jokes and talking about strange theories that kind of freaked people out. That's what it does to you. And also it just made me 10 times more anxious when the drugs came off. So you just want to get something more. And the thing about these drugs is that you just... It comes in different forms, okay? I mean, I don't want to boast and advertise it too much, but it can be really subtle that you don't know someone's taking it. And actually, when I was on these drugs, I came to find out there's more people than you think who are on these drugs. Some of these are ministers, some of these people who want to be ministers, and they don't tell people because they're ashamed of it. And for me, I didn't want to tell people because I cared about what people thought too much, but now it doesn't matter anymore because I only care about what God thinks. And the thing is that I just didn't have the authenticity to be myself, and I was losing self-control. And the Bible tells us so many times to have self-control. And in fact, this year, I was able to quit at the turn of the new year, but it was towards about a couple weeks ago I just broke free, thanks to the grace of God. And it wasn't easy, but God is the one, is the reason why I'm here, and that's why I'm confessing to you, because I have repented and I have changed. I've gotten rid of my stash and all the pipes and the pens, and I cut up my card like an old credit card that's expired. I don't want to go back, and my wife's a witness to this. The thing is that I still need your prayers to not relapse and to not go back. So just because I'm sharing this, that, you know, we still need to hold each other accountable and hold me accountable that there is no relapse and no going back. But the Lord was speaking to me in my Greek class. Now, in Greek is different than Hebrew because it's actually harder, and I'm actually a C student in Greek. But this semester in Greek, we were reading through the book of 1 Peter, and I just felt that as God was speaking to me through the Bible, he was making it clear to me one word. And that's the theme of today's sermon, is being sober before God. And it's from 1 Peter. 1 Peter, as Ian makes his way up to, oh, it's Heidi on the computer. Okay, from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, I got three verses that confirm this theme about why we need to be sober before God. And I was talking to a friend of mine who is addicted on marijuana, and he won't stop. I told him that if we're going to go out there and preach and pray with people and bring them to the Lord, we have to be sober-minded. Because when you are high on drugs, you are not sober-minded. But the Lord commands us to do this. And even in the Old Testament background, when the Levites had to perform their duties in the sacrificial system, one of the commandments was that you need to be sober when you do it. You cannot be drunk doing these things. And here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, it says, Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. And the first reason here, so it's like Peter gives us a command saying, be sober, and the follow-up question is why? And he tells you why. He says it is to prepare for the second coming of Christ. And we just know with what's going on in the world today, the second coming of Christ is going to be anytime around the corner, and we need to be prepared for it. In fact, the media wants us to think that preparing for the second coming of Jesus is for crazy people, but it's not. It's the command that Jesus came when he came to earth. It's to always prepare for his coming. Even the Christians from long ago, from 2,000 years ago, that's how they live, is in light of the second coming of Jesus. Now, we don't know when exactly it's going to be, but we need to do it. And we need to be sober-minded and to do it in preparing for his coming. And the second verse is from 1 Peter 4, 7. So first one is to be sober because to prepare for the second coming of Jesus. Second one is from 1 Peter 4, 7. In 1 Peter 4, 7, it says, the end of all things is near. In reference to like the second coming is around the corner. So therefore, be alert and of sober mind, so that you may pray. There's another reason why, is to pray. And of course, when I was on these drugs, I could pray, but it wasn't in my right mind. Sometimes I would do it like in a silly way, because you're not taking it seriously. So that's the second reason, is so that we can pray, and that's what we're all commanded to do, so that we can maintain a right relationship with God in this communication. And third is from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, it says, be alert and of sober mind. That word again, sober. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So a third reason here is that you need to be sober before God because the devil is always out to get somebody. He's out to take someone's life. And one of the ways he does it is through drug addiction. And drug addiction is very hard to overcome because of all the thoughts you get when you're on the drugs to justify why you're doing them. And for me, I admit that I did buy into those lies. And it took me 10 months to realize it when my body built such a high tolerance. So when I would go to my dispensary to go purchase this, I bought the stuff that actually gets people hooked on marijuana. It's something called THC. That's the stuff that makes people high or feel drunk or whatever that feeling is. And that's what makes it really addictive, and people don't want to get off of it. And the thing is that at my dispensary, I bought the most potent forms of it. And after a while, when I took it, I just didn't feel anything. And I felt like I needed to take something higher, but there was nothing higher. And in fact, the dispensary business was losing business. And I had no idea why. They were running out of supplies. And that's because God is judging the drug industry. Look at what's happened this past year. President Trump, I don't know what you think, and I don't really care, but President Trump declared a national health emergency crisis. And that's not because it just recently happened. It's because it has been happening for a long time, and now it's come to the tipping point. Especially if you want our economy to be boosted and to grow, you cannot have people who are on drugs, especially operating machinery or driving people around or just doing daily functions. And the problem is not sometimes when people get high and do it, it's when they get off of it. When they get off, they start feeling terrible and they start to isolate themselves. When you're on these drugs, you don't want to talk to anybody. It even got to a point that I didn't want to talk to my wife unless I was on drugs. And she noticed that something was really off in our relationship and actually makes you angry. It's when it wears off, that's when you feel it. And it's not an everlasting joy. It's a false, temporary joy. And it's so deceiving how it gets you. For example, when I was on these drugs, I could talk to the smartest people in my seminary, people who had PhDs. And we could talk about the deepest ideas in philosophy and in history. But once it wore off, I didn't have anything to talk about because my mind was blank. And it felt so bad, and I didn't want to talk to them again. They'd be like, hey, you want to talk? I'd be like, no, sorry, because my supply has run out. I need to go back and go buy more. And I just got to a point, and I was wondering, why, Lord, why do you want me to stop? The Lord was giving me three reasons. And I'm sure there are more, but you can build on them. One reason why I need to stop is because I just need to honor God, because God has given us our bodies. Our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. We need to take care of Him. God has given us our bodies, and we are to exercise responsibility over it. Honor God, but also honor the church. Imagine if I continued on here doing youth ministry and preaching and I was on drugs. It just would be a shame for me, for my wife, and for you guys. And it's just not me up here. It's just some drugs taking over. And it's because of all the liberal ideology that's being spread today, and I'm going to go into that later. But a second reason why is God wants me to honor my marriage and honor my family. I cannot be drug addicted and be a good husband to my wife, especially if you want to have children. There was a point that my brother-in-law, who's Felicia's sister's husband, came over with his little baby who was born just a few months ago, and I couldn't hold the baby because I'm probably going to drop her. And I was thinking, if I have my own kid, how can I even take care of my own baby if I'm on these drugs like this? So I need to honor the marriage and honor the family, and that's the basic social structures of our society. And the third reason is they got to honor our nation. Think about what's going on. We are Christians put in a country, in fact, the greatest country on the face of the earth, and we have a mission to all the nations. It's to spread, you know, the great values we have, but also to spread Christianity. We have the freedom of religion to express faith in Christ. And also, we need to respect those in authority. If those in authority say that this is illegal, of course, some states legalize it, then we have to submit to these authorities and honor them. And God has put us here to exercise the responsibility. And the thing is that there's a lot of lies that we've got to expose, and I'm praying for God's mercy because I know that by saying this, people won't be happy. And people probably won't want to be my friends anymore. But so what? I have Jesus on my side. Amen? Who cares? Because these drug addicts aren't going to be there for you when you get off of these drugs. And in fact, okay, so here's one of the lies. One of the lies about marijuana or any drugs is that they say it's not addictive, and it's not a gateway drug. And they say that, oh, that's a slippery slope argument. Well, the thing about marijuana is that it actually is pretty mild compared to all the other drugs on the black market. But the thing is that it's because it's so mild, you build the tolerance up really high, you take it, you get high, but then you take it again, you don't feel anything. You gotta take two times the dose or get a higher strain. And the problem with these dispensaries is that they will genetically modify these things to pile in more THC into it to make it more high and more addictive to get you hooked on them. And the thing is that that's the reason why it's so addictive, because of the tolerance. And then you realize, boom, I took the strongest thing that my dispensary offered me, and I guess I got to go to something else now. I got to either go to take these psychedelic mushrooms or go on these heroin or go on cocaine just to feel something. Because I need the high to function every day, to do everything, to drive, to go play basketball, to socialize with people. And there was a friend at the church I was attending, he moved, and he just told me one day, he said straight up, he's like, you are not yourself. That's it, you're just not yourself. And then He's like, why do you even need to take these just to even come outside? That's a sign of addiction. And that's the thing, is that that's how they lie to you. But also another lie that the cannabis industry tells people is that it's a peaceful drug, that it will bring peace. You're going to be like a hippie and everything's going to be fine and dandy. And in fact, it does for 2 hours. But once it wears off and the high is gone, you feel really bad because you want to get that high back again. You're so hooked on that feeling. And the thing is that they say it's a peaceful drug. Okay, that's the argument put on the table. Okay, let's think about it. Use your brains here. If it is so peaceful, then why are the drug cartels in Mexico who are shipping them over our border, why are they so violent? Why are they killing so many people? Why do they stock up on so many firearms if it's such a peaceful drug and they're the ones who are taking it? And why are they causing these problems to our nation and flooding our streets with drugs? This is ridiculous. All it is, it's so hypocritical because, and in these dispensaries, if you go inside, they're heavily gated and have a strong security force because they know these people are going to be addicted, they're going to run out of money, and they're going to feel angry, and they're going to barge in and do whatever they can to get those drugs. So even the drug dispensaries do not believe in gun control because they want weapons to protect their property and their stash. Because they know it's once addiction hits, people will do anything. They'll kill you just to get those drugs. And it is not peaceful. And it's not bringing peace to our nation. It's a total lie. And another thing is that people say that it's medicine because it's a plant created by God. Okay, let's put that argument on the table. Marijuana is created by God. Okay, fair. Because actually, in ancient China, people didn't actually really smoke cannabis unless you were like a sorcery or like a witch type person. But actually you can use marijuana to make paper, okay, and for even medicine if you extract the THC out of it. And it can actually be a medicine if you use it in CBD, which is without the THC. It's just a medicine people use, which is totally legal. But the problem is that people want the THC in there. And that's why these dispensaries will genetically modify these drugs and mix breeds together to make it super potent. And that's how they get people hooked. And the thing is that, okay, it's the Lord's creation, okay. Well, the Lord also created the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the devil probably told him, this was created by God, and you take it. In fact, the same lies that the devil told to Adam and Eve are the same lies that marijuana tells people, or any drugs. And that's that if you take this, eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you're going to live forever, you're going to be like God, and you'll be wise, and your eyes will be open. And in fact, I'll be honest, when you take it, you do feel like that. You feel immortal. And in fact, at my seminary, I was the best basketball player on the court. I could jump higher than everyone else. I could cross people over, and it was like, one guy even told me, what are you smoking? And he was just joking around, but I was like, shoot, does somebody know? I'm embarrassed. It's like, you don't really play like this. You're kind of just an average player, kind of slow, miss your shots. It's like, where did this come from? That's because of the drugs. It does do that to you. But once it wears off, I'm like, I can't go out and play basketball. It's sober-minded. So that's how it gets to you. And then, as I mentioned about, can't socialize and can't go to class. But the Lord had to break those chains. And in fact, it's not healthy because once it got to the point that I couldn't feel high anymore and that I wanted stronger drugs, the Lord was telling me, you got to stop. And it just reached a tipping point. And it was hard for me. I had all these same arguments stashed up. But then as time went on, I just realized that they were just wrong in so many ways, especially about how cannabis did not boost the industry. And in fact, there are states that are being sued for all the people who are committing crimes on marijuana or crashing their cars or being irresponsible or passing out from it. So it's a total lie that needs to be exposed from the devil. And in fact, if it's a thing created by God, if you go with that same logic, then why don't we go eat all the poisonous berries out there? Why don't we just go eat all the poisonous mushrooms out there? The things that we don't even want our dogs to eat. Why don't we eat that if that's created by God? So even that is, that even the things that are created, not everything should be eaten or ingested. And in fact, one of the ways that it's so bad is because of the human manipulation of these drugs, like I said, that people will put things in it and you don't know what else they're putting in it. It's not just marijuana. They could be putting some nicotine in it to make you super addicted to it, just so they can make money. And it's just, marijuana is just one of those industries that lasts for just a little bit, because people are going to find out really quick. And once they realize their savings account's all gone and that they're in debt and they got to ask people for money for it, then the marijuana knows that people are going to lash out at them. So that's why slowly these dispensaries are losing their products and losing customers. So, and all the more. And think about our president. He's not a perfect man, but the Lord is using him and he's working in his life. And in fact, one thing he does have right, we have a national drug epidemic. And there are more people than you think that are on it. And they won't tell you because there's shame to it. And that's why it took me 10 months to come out with, because there's so much shame to it and embarrassment. And for me, just to come up here and do it, it just has to be exposed. We have to speak truth to power, to the dark powers that run this world. And we don't know where our country is headed, but the devil knows his time is short. And he's trying to bring as many people as he can with him down into hell. And this is one way he gets it. And one other prayer request I have is for my brother, because he was the one who got me into this. I want you to pray for him. His name is Johnny. And for him is that he was hooked on marijuana for a long time. In fact, he was a drug dealer who went to jail. But the thing is that he got to a point that marijuana didn't do anything for him. And now he wants to upgrade to even worse drugs. And every day I pray for him and even fast for him. And it's just so hard-headed. We just have to pray that the Lord spreads wisdom and knowledge of this. And the Lord is actually, and if you're not convinced by the scientific arguments and you don't have time to read it, you just have to just look at what's going on. I mean, some of you know drug addicts in your life, and you're praying for them, you've been crying for them. And it's a serious problem, because it's a loss of self-control. It's the loss of authenticity, the loss of being yourself. And in fact, that's how a lot of people get demon-possessed, is through these drugs. They lose themselves, and then the spirit takes over. And in fact, there was a point that I would meet with people and talk to them, and I would say stuff that I've never even thought of before, stuff that I've never even read, and I'm wondering, where are these voices even coming from? Like, I am, like, putting theories together I've never heard of about, like, history and government, and it's just like, wow. And it's just like, sure, it's from your brain, but that's how the devil gets people. You get hooked, and you just lose yourself. You can't really control. Can't even drive a car properly. And it's just dangerous. But as I wrap up, I want to encourage you with this verse from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 to 14. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 to 14. It says, "Beloved, or dear friends, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial taking place among you all, as if something strange is happening to you. But as you have shared in the sufferings of Christ, rejoice, and again greatly rejoice, at the glorious revelation, or you can say the apocalypse, of him. If you are insulted in the name of Christ, blessed are you, because the glory and spirit of God rests upon you. They blaspheme him, but for you, he is glorified." So, as Christians who care about the welfare of our nation and of our neighbors who are addicted to drugs, we need to speak truth to power. Tell them, you're wrong. I'm not going to tolerate this idiotic behavior anymore. I'm tired of you wasting your money and asking people for money just to support this drug habit. I'm tired of you not being yourself. You need to tell them that. But we might even come under persecution for this as Christians who stand up for the truth. I don't know who they are, but whoever's supporting the cannabis industry, they're going to lash out at us. They're going to mock us for this. And in fact, when we do this, don't be discouraged. I mean, I had a lot of fears coming up here. I know there's probably some of you who think I'm totally lying to you, or you don't know what he's talking about. But I have firsthand experience. I know how the industry works and how people are on it, and I know other patients. But it's just, we need to speak the truth. We need to rebuke the corruption in our society. And don't be afraid if it feels strange and you're scared that you're losing your friends and people aren't respecting you anymore. So what? You share in the sufferings of Christ. That's the talk of being one with Jesus. You share in the community. Actually, the word for it, when you said share in the suffering, it's the word for communion. You are one with Jesus if you do this, because Jesus is the one who ultimately suffered. So what if I'm afraid to go up here and bash marijuana and it's all its lies and its deceits? So what? Jesus suffered more than me. He was hanging on the cross for us, naked and beaten to death and dying for our place. And he took it all for us. And he wasn't ashamed. Jesus could have just stayed up in heaven and played it safe. And that's what I thought. So why don't I just play it safe and just keep the story to myself? But it's not. If Jesus went public with the truth and he went public with his sufferings, so should we. Because we care about our society. We care about our neighbors. And we need to speak the truth in love. And in fact, it's a glorious and joyful thing. And in fact, when I stopped this drug habit and I confessed it, I felt 10 times more joyful than when I was on those drugs. And because I share in the sufferings of Christ, I know I'm going to lose friends, and I know I'm going to make enemies. But Jesus had enemies. And he was even put on the cross through the religious leaders of his day. I don't care if Catholics, priests, or the Pope says that I'm wrong, or some liberal preachers out there, so what? There were false preachers in the Bible, false preachers in history, if you just study enough, right? But it's just that I'm going to rejoice and be glad because I care about the second coming of Jesus, and I'm anticipating that's when the full healing has come, but we had to prepare for it. Prepare for it by being sober-minded so you can pray and avoid the devil's temptations who is trying to draw us away. And actually, the sign of this peace is that when you're persecuted for Christ, that's a sign that you have the Holy Spirit in you. That's an assurance of your salvation, that you belong to Jesus and that you're going to suffer with him. And they will blaspheme him, but for God is glorified. So I just pray that my testimony, that you would accept my apology and my confession, and I've repented and turned before the Lord, and I'm ready to move on with my life and with my marriage and with family building. And this is the time that we need to tell this, because we need to honor God. We need to honor the bodies that God has given us. We need to honor his church and the people, because we know that there are people suffering out there. And we also need to honor our families. Think about your spouse, your parents, the people who die from drug addiction and cause their parents to be intensely sad. And also the spouses who suffer from it, and the kids. The family breaks apart, so does the whole society. And the country will go downhill. And so also we do it to honor our nation and to honor those who are in power. So may the Lord have mercy on us. If you are addicted to drugs, turn to Christ. Christ's blood, he will set you free from these chains of addiction. His blood will cover you. Jesus is the one who drives out evil spirits. He's the ultimate exorcist. Turn to him. If you have someone who is suffering from drug addiction, your family or friends, turn to Jesus. Ask him for wisdom. How do you approach these people? How do you speak truth to the dark powers of the world? And how do you rebuke them without shutting them off completely? So I just pray that the Lord has mercy on us. And I don't know where I'm going from here, but I'm just trusting God day by day. So thank you.
Okay, you've heard him. Now I've got a question for you. Do you forgive him? Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. Well, that took a lot of guts to do, don't you think? I think that's a perfect time for communion. We have a confession. If you would, please sit down just for a second. Took a lot of courage to do that, and it was very encouraging, and I think that many of us can walk away and say we've even got some new arguments that we've heard firsthand of the suffering that someone went through finding out the truth. And I found it very interesting, the fact that he said, if these drugs are so harmless, why are even the dispensaries under guard? That's a message there. Before we start communion, I'd like to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul, writing to the Corinthians in regards to communion. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he so too eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you sleep. So what the Apostle Paul was saying, before we take of communion, we need to do a spiritual check inside, a check where we examine where we need to repent. And he's literally saying that some, because they wouldn't do this, became sick, which should all the more speak to us that what we're doing from a heavenly perspective is a very sacred moment, a moment that we're supposed to take to heart in regards to the Lord's sacrifice on the cross for our sins, where he expects us to repent. And he didn't just say that some got sick. He also said that a number of them what? Slept. And what does that mean? Died. So before we begin, I'd like to take a moment, just a moment. Maybe there's someone that you're not right with. Perhaps you got in an argument with. Perhaps you owe someone an apology, starting, of course, with the Lord. But even the Lord said, before you come to him, you know, bring your gift to the altar, that we're supposed to make sure that we get right. Because if we're not right with a brother or sister, then we're not going to be right with the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. And Lord, we ask that you would help bring to remembrance the things that we need to confess. Ask that you would forgive us. Forgive us, Lord, where perhaps we let our pride rule, where we didn't want to be embarrassed, so we covered it up because we weren't humble. Pray, Lord, forgive us where perhaps you wanted us to be generous with someone who needed money, and we didn't do it. Forgive us for being disobedient, not just selfish. Father, probably most of us, if not all of us, can confess that we haven't really been taking time to seek you, such as in your word. We ask, Father, that you would help us and forgive us. Lord, we know that your word is meant to be a light unto our path, and that we should be having that light every day. And therefore, it's important that we fill our being, as we're in a world that not only wants to drain us, but instead of having your light, wants to fill us with your darkness. Father, we come before you, and if there's any area in which maybe we didn't tell the whole truth, maybe there was more than that and even a lie, we ask, Lord, that you would forgive us. Father, perhaps we weren't patient with someone who was needing our time. Forgive us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to realize that when we give people our time, what we're really doing is waiting on you. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity as we begin to partake. And we thank you, Lord, for the bread which represents your body, which paid the price for our sin, and also your blood, which has the power to wash away our sin. And so we come with thanksgiving, Lord. We praise you. It is your desire that we always do a flushing out of the things that can prove to be toxic to our spirit, including maybe some of the things we have seen that you've told us to turn away from. And we trust you, Lord, for the cleansing power of the blood. In Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen. I'm going to have Paul Somm. See, there we go. Pastor Bridges is actually down in one of the southern states. I think it was Georgia or Atlanta. So Paul Somm's going to fill in. And if we could have the worship team come forward.